Morning. Today, Daf in Pesachim, Daf Kuf Tes. We're back on Daf Kuf Ches. We're talking about the Dal Kosos. The Gemara is in the middle of a discussion regarding the requirement on Pesach to have four cups of wine. We speak today in detail regarding the mitzvah of the four cups of wine, and we speak shiurim. We speak about the amounts, the requisite amounts that's necessary in order to fulfill this mitzvah of the Dal Kosos, in addition to other requirements that surround the Dal Kosos. We're on Kuf Ches Amud Beis. We're right at the top of the Amud. I'm going to start at the very first line of Kuf Ches Amud Beis. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Meshmor, Arba Kosos Olot Tzorach Sheyeh Behem Kedei Mezikas Kos Yofeh. It has to have enough so that it can be diluted and be diluted well. Okay, this statement made by Shmuel, we're going to come back to. We're going to discuss it in more detail in just a moment. Understand exactly what he means by that. Yeah, understand that in the times of the Gemara, the wine that was created from the grape was very intense. It was extraordinarily powerful. It required some form of dilution, as we'll talk about over the course of this morning. The dilution ratio was 1 to 3, 1 part wine, 3 parts water. So every time you had a cup of wine, it would be required to add three, for whatever volume you have of wine, to add 3 parts of water to it, in order so that it'd be good, it tastes good. Drinking it undiluted was the Gemara referred to as drinking it raw wine. So the Gemara is teaching us over here that in order to fulfill this mitzvah, so it has to be kedei mezikas kos yofeh. That's the first statement of Shmuel. Exactly what he meant by that, we don't know yet. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. Shalson chai yatsa. If you drink it chai, you're yotze. You fulfilled your obligation. In other words, you should dilute your wine. It is advisable. It tastes better. It's just qualitatively a better drink to dilute it. But says Shmuel, if you don't dilute, it's still going to work. It's still going to fulfill your mitzvah. Shasim b'vasachas yatzeh. If you drink it at one time, you're also yotzeh. There are 4 cups of wine. If, let's say, instead of distributing the 4 cups of wine over the course of the meal, what you do is you drink all 4 cups of wine at the same time. I'll quote Rashi in just a moment. I'll come back to this as well. But basically, if you drink it all in one shot, let's say it like that right now, nice and simple. So you also fulfilled your obligation, it says Shmuel. And Hishka Mehem Levanu V'Neveso Yatza. And finally, the last statement of Shmuel is that if you give it to your Banu V'Neveso, to your children, to your family members, usually Beso is a reference to the wife over here, but it doesn't say Beso. It says B'nei Beso. However it's to be understood. In other words, if you take some of your wine and you let other people drink from it, you yourself also fulfill the obligation. Ad kan. Okay, various statements by Shmuel regarding this mitzvah of the 4 cups of wine. So the Gemara is going to go over every one of these statements and try to understand these statements. Shasan cha yatsa. So one statement that he made, I don't know why the Gemara doesn't go in order of Shmuel's statements. Okay, for whatever reason. But we're going to go to the statement of Shmuel that says Shasan Chai Yotze, that if you drink it undiluted, you fulfill your obligation. I'm a Rava, Yidei Yain Yotze, Yidei Cheres Lo Yotze. So Rava says, good. Did you drink wine? Yeah. You can't deny the fact that you drank wine. So Yidei Yain Yotze. You fulfilled your obligation of Yain. But Yidei Cheres Lo Yotze. But you didn't behave like a free man. Free man doesn't drink undiluted wine. A free man is going to take his wine, he's going to dilute it, make it good, make it tasty. So you didn't fulfill your obligation of cheres. Now, what is this? What exactly is this obligation of cheres? So, in the simplest terms, it basically means that look, the whole idea of drinking the 4 cups of wine is to symbolize the freedom. So you have to symbolize in the way that free men drink wine. So, technically speaking, can we say you drank wine? Yes. But did you get the point of drinking the wine? So the Gemara says basically no. So you didn't fulfill your obligation of cheres. Does that mean you have to go back and drink it again? Seemingly not. It's hard to say, unclear from the way the Gemara presents it. Shasim b'vasachas. Now, what did Shmuel say? That if I drank it all in one shot, so that's okay. Shmuel says you fulfilled your obligation. Rav amar yidei yain yatsa yidei arba kosos lo yatsa. So once again, Rav says like this. Did you drink wine? Yeah, you drank wine. Did you fulfill your mitzvah of dal kosos? No, you did not. Meaning, although technically speaking, cannot deny the fact that you drank wine, but on the Seder night there's a mitzvah to drink 4 cups of wine. And because you drank it all together, and because you didn't distribute it over the course of the evening, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of dal kosos. You fulfilled the mitzvah of yayin, but you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of dal kosos. Now what does it mean that you drank it all in one shot? So it's interesting if take a look at the Rashbam, I'm reading inside. So So he quotes Rashi. The Rashi was quoting his grandfather, Rashi. And Rashi says that what it means is that you take all four cups of wine, you pour it into one large cup, and you drink it all together. That's the way Rashi understands the Gemara over here when it says Bevatzach, as Velo Nehira. And the Rashbam says, I cannot imagine that that's correct. The Rashbam says, I really don't get it, because, look, I don't care how big your cup is. Meaning, it could be an enormous cup. Yes, it's true, you'll be hearing a lot this morning that you have to drink a Revias. But as the Rashbam points out, a Revias is a minimum. That's not how much you have to drink. It's the least amount that you have to drink. It's the minimum that you have to drink. But if you have a large cup, and you drink that whole cup, we all understand that that's drinking one cup, regardless of the volume content in that cup. So when Rashi says, I'm taking four cups and I'm pouring it into one, I'm drinking it, there's no, of course that's only considered drinking one cup, and that's not drinking multiple cups. So therefore, what Rashi's understanding of the Gemara is just simply, it's nearly impossible, because that's, for nobody would ever consider the idea that by pouring four different cups into one cup, so therefore that even may have a consideration of being four cups. Venerally, so the Rashbam says, what I'll do is I'll explain the Gemara, and I will basically I'll increase the level of chiddush in the Gemara. Venerally, the hachi perusha bevasach shlo ala seder mishnasenu ela shasan ritzufin. So the Rashbam says, you know what I believe the pshat in the Gemara is like this: you drink four cups of wine, but what did you do? Consecutive, back to back to back to back. And you did not do it in the proper order of the Seder. As we'll learn over the course of the Mishnayos, the four cups correspond to four parts of the Seder. First cup is Kiddush, second cup Magid, third cup benching, fourth cup halal. And so what you did not do is you didn't distribute it like the Mishnayos told us to distribute it, but you drank four cups in a row. Even then, says the Rashbam, I believe that what the Gemara is teaching us is that that's not considered drinking four cups of wine, that's considered drinking one cup of wine. Okay, so basic machlokes between Rashi and the Rashbam, but what comes out according to the Rashbam is that it's an elevated chiddush in the Gemara, that even though you physically drank four cups of wine, but because of your lack of distribution over the course of the evening, so therefore it's considered one cup of wine. Good. Back to the Gemara. Hishken mahem levanu v'nei ve'so yatsa. If you gave it to your children, your yotze, meaning what did you do? You made kiddush over your cup of wine, and then you drank from it, and then you gave your kids to drink from it as well. Remember Tosfos in the beginning. Just one thing. Remember Tosfos in the beginning of the perek. So he grappled with the following question. He wondered, does everyone have to have their own cup of wine at the Seder, or is it sufficient if the Baal HaBayis, the one who's running the Seder, he have a cup of wine, and everyone else listen and watch him drink, and that would be sufficient? And Tosos, quite frankly, did not know which way to go. You know, he vacillated back and forth over these two understandings. One of the points that he raised is this very Gemara right here. Meaning this Gemara over here makes it sound like the head of household had a cup of wine, and he was the one who was drinking the whole night, and he sometimes gave off sips to his kids. So Tosus pointed out, it sounds like from our Gemara over here that only the head of household had a cup of wine, nobody else. But Tosus deflected, if you remember, and one of the points that Tosus suggested is that maybe our Gemara over here, when he's talking about letting his kids have a drink, he's talking about letting his little kids have a drink. Meaning that his big kids, and his wife, everyone would have a cup of wine. And maybe it was the little kids who came over and, you know, can I have a little sip? Maybe that's what our Gemara means over here. So, okay, you could really go back and forth on this issue, and Tosfos does, in the very beginning of the Perek. But just reminding myself and everybody else that this was one of our issues which we never arrived at conclusion. Of course, we know the minhag is, I mean, the halach is that everyone has their own cup of wine, but at least within the world of the Rishonim, it was not clear. Okay, so the Gemara now says like this. So if I give my kids a little bit to drink, so I fulfill my obligation. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak, v'hu d'ishtu ruba d'kasa. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, and this is why I asked you to pause, because I knew this line of Gemara was coming up. The Gemara says, yeah, but you have to drink the majority of the cup. Meaning insufficient for you to have a sip and then let everyone else have a drink from the cup. No, that's no good. Meaning that you have to have a majority of the cup in order to fulfill your mitzvah. After you have the majority, then you want to have the kids take a little sip on your cup. That would be fine. The Gemara quotes a Braisa. The Braisa says that these four cups of wine have to have a revias. Okay, now let me try to dispel confusion at the onset of this discussion, and then hopefully later on we'll get confused. But let me, at least at this point in time, try to mitigate the amount of confusion we have. You're going to see this term revias used a lot. Revias means a quarter. That's all it means. Now, revias in our context can mean one of two things. We know, right, it will be clear as we go through the Gemara, that when we talk about the shear, the amount of wine that one has to drink on Pesach, and for that matter, for many other halachas that regarding liquids and volumes, so the shear is a revias. A revias means a revias of a log. Okay? A log is approximately 16 ounces. Again, I'm just speaking in approximate terms. A log is approximately 16 ounces, so you're talking about a revias, so you're talking about approximately 4 ounces. Okay, and I don't speak in any type of absolute terms, just so that we have an idea. So the Braisa says that the amount of wine that you have to have is kidei revias. Echad chai ve'echad mazug, and it doesn't matter what you're putting in the cup. Meaning that volume has to be a constant revias, a quarter of a log. It could be undiluted, it could be diluted, echad chadash ve'echad yashan, it could be new wine, it could be old wine, it doesn't matter. When you pour the contents into your cup, it must fill to a revias. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and by the way, where can we get confused? Well, the Gemara is going to get confused in just a moment, but the possibility, the room for confusion is the following. Not only is a revias a reference to a quarter log of wine, but a revias also is how much raw wine you're going to be pouring in the cup in order to dilute. Remember our dilution ratio. Our dilution ratio is 1:3, which means then that when I fill a cup of wine with wine, what I'm really going to do is I'm going to fill it to a quarter full. I'm then going to add 3 parts water to the 1 part wine, and then I'm going to arrive at a revias. So you understand, revias could really refer to one of two things. It could either refer to the total contents of liquid in the cup, or it could refer to the amount of wine being poured in, which would then added with 3 parts of wine is going to total a revias. So the truth of the matter is, when we're pouring wine into the cup, how much are we pouring in? 1/16. A quarter of a quarter. Quarter of a quarter is a 1/16. So that's where the confusion could be generated from. The Gemara is going to get a little bit confused, but then the Gemara is going to resolve itself. So let's see that again. The Gemara quotes the Braisa. The Braisa says you have 4 cups of wine, and it doesn't matter what you... in each cup has to have a revias. It means a revias of a log. And whatever you pour in, whether it's diluted, undiluted, new or old, it has to be a revias. Rav Yehuda Amar Tzarech Sheyeh Bo Tam Umare Yayin. Rav Yehuda says it has to taste like wine, and it has to look like wine. Looking like wine, if you take a look at the Rashbam, what does that mean? It has to look like wine. So Rashi says red wine. The Rashbam. The Rashbam says it has to be red wine. Reason being, the Gemara is going to tell us in just a moment, there are psukim in Tanakh that indicate that wine primarily is red. In the meantime, however, before we get, we'll come back to the color of wine, but Ketani Mia Kedei Revias V'atamar Kos Yafeh. So the Gemara is now confused, meaning we have a Braisa. And the Braisa speaks in extraordinarily objective terms, that you have to have a revias of wine. A revias of wine is a quarter of a log. And you, Shmuel, you're talking in terms I really don't understand. Sarach she'ehe bahem kidei mezigas kos yafeh. The amount of wine necessary for dilution. Meaning, as the Rashman points out, what the Gemara thinks Shmuel means is that all I need to do is drink a 1/16. That's all. Meaning enough wine where I could dilute it, but it's not yet diluted. So that's where the Gemara is totally confused now. Which one is it? Is it the revias of a log or the revias of a revias? So Amri Idivi Idichashiru. So the Gemara immediately resolves its own confusion. No. Shmuel is not disagreeing with the Braisa. In fact, Shmuel is saying the exact same thing as the Braisa. My Kedei Mezigas Kos Yafa. We're just going to have to understand Shmuel a little bit better. What he means is the Kamel Kol Chavechad. Davalakula Revias. Meaning it means for every single individual, which of course totals a Revias. Meaning everyone's going to get a quarter of a quarter, but then when diluted, is going to total a revias. So there is no disagreement between Shmuel and the Braisa. Shmuel, of course, agrees that it has to be a quarter of a log. Rav Yehuda Amar Tzarech Sheyeh Bo Tam Amar. Rav Yehuda says it has to have the taste and the color of wine. Amar Rav Amai Tam and Rav Yehuda Dichsev Al Teira Yayin Ki Yit Adam. The Pasuk of Mishlei says, don't look at wine when it's red. It's funny. The Pasuk of Mishlei gives us a sense of don't drink too much wine. Meaning, don't go after wine, don't run after wine. If you take a look at the Rashbam over here, atachmo lios ragobo kiat adam. In other words, the wine is very red; it's very seductive, right? Don't look after it. Don't drink a lot of wine. But that's the musr, and obviously the musr is no excess, meaning moderation, fine, but no excess. But the point is that what kind of wine is judged is deemed wine? Red. So that pasuk in Mishlei is evidence towards for Rabbi Yehuda that wine must be red. The halacha brings down, the Shulchan Aruch brings down that you should have, for the Seder night, you should have red wine. The Gemara over here describes it, wine as being red. So for the Seder, is there any special halacha for Friday night Kiddush? Not that I know of, although I don't know why there would be a distinction. Okay, anyway. Fine. The Tanu Rabbanan Hakol Chayav Marbakosis Halal Echad Anashim Echad Anashim Echad Tinokos. Okay, who's obligated in the mitzvah of Dalkosis? Well, we already talked about this on the very top of the Amud. If you go back to yesterday's daf, you remember yesterday's daf, we said women are obligated in the mitzvah of Dalkosis. Why? Because often Hayibos are nice because they were part of the miracle. So we remember we discussed yesterday what exactly that means. They were subject to being killed. They were instrumental in the Yeshua into the in the Geula. Good. So we discussed it yesterday. Here the Braisa kind of repeats itself, or repeats what we learned yesterday. Everyone's obligated in four kosas, but men, women, and children. What we get over here is something that we did not see yesterday, and that is the children's obligation. We say children, we mean basically anyone under the age of 13. They're not chayiv yet in mitzvahs, not mitzvahs daraisa, not mitzvahs darabanan. There's usually a concept of chinuch. So the Tanakhama over here is of the opinion that chinuch also for drinking. So they should be drinking wine as well. Am Rav Yehuda v'chimato elas yesh lo tinokas b'yayin. So Rav Yehuda says, look, I'm in favor of chinuch, but not on this issue. Meaning, I don't think there's any gain for having a child drink wine. And so therefore, the Rashbam says they're exempt from the mitzvos, and this is a kind of chinuch where they're not old enough, and whatever his reasons are, meaning maybe for obvious and maybe not so obvious. But he says he does not think that that the children should be drinking wine. So what do you do? Meaning, so good. So for the adults around the table, so they drink wine, and that'll make the adults happy. What do you do to make the kids happy at the Seder? Ela mechalken lehem klayos ve'egozim be'erev Pesach kidei shelo yishanu v'yishalu. So what you do is you give them klayot, you give them roasted grains, give them nuts on Erev Pesach, so that they don't fall asleep and they continue to ask questions. Now, roasted grains, Erev Pesach? Yeah. Sure. Why not? Take a look at the Rashbam, the top of Kuftes. The Rashbam talks about, the Klayos talks about the roasted grains. Kalim echitim yishanim. So first the Rashbam is bothered by a halachic issue. The one that's not the not obvious halachic issue. The obvious halachic issue is you're serving wheat on Erev Pesach. Okay, that's the obvious halachic issue, which, as we'll learn in just a moment, that's not a halachic issue at all. But the not so obvious halachic issue is it's a toasted grain. Grains are not going to be permitted until the second day of Pesach. Up until that point in time, any grains that grew over the course of this year is called chadash. And Chadash is Asr Min HaTorah. One is prohibited to eat Chadash. So how are you serving these grains to the children when it's Chadash? So the Rashbam says, yeah, correct. They're last year's grains. So Kali Mechitim Yishanim DeChadash Asr Adayim Balayla Rishon Shal Pesach. So obviously these are not grains that grew this year. These are grains that grew in the previous year. That, says the Rashbam, that sidesteps one issue. Umukamos yesh besfarad shemiyavshin chitim yishanim b'machvas agabe or. And the Rashbam says, here's what happens in Spain. It's funny, the Rashbam is telling us what happens in Spain. The Rashbam was an Ashkenaz. He was living in France. He was living in Germany. But he says, okay, but this is what I heard, that in the Spanish countries, so what they do is they dry out the wheat, b'machvas agave or, basically pan roasted wheat kernels, v'ochlan osam im egozim b'kinuch seuda, and they eat it together with nuts at the end of a meal, like dessert. Mipi Rabbeinu Shmuel HaChassid. I heard this from Rabbeinu Shmuel HaChassid. In the meantime, that's the end of the Rashbam. In the meantime, that we're going to be doing. In the meantime, however, let's just deal with a very simple question. Toasted wheat grain on Erev Pesach? The answer is really simple. It's not chametz. Meaning we are, you know, we work with the false under, you know, with an erroneous thought that, you know, wheat is chametz. Wheat is not chametz. Wheat is fine. You can toast it. You can chew on it. It's fine. The problem is when wheat is introduced to water and then it sits and lets ferment. So then it's going to be an issue. But just toasted grains on Erev Pesach, on Pesach itself, that's fine. That's not a problem. So it's odd. Something for us conceptually would be so unbelievable. But they would toast the grains and they would serve it on Erev Pesach, and that would get the kids excited. Apparently, it was delicious. It's kind of like a cereal. Amar Lava Rabbi Akiva Shayu Mechalek Klais VeGozel Tinokas BeErev Pesach Kedei Shul Yishanu VeYishalu. And they said about Rabbi Akiva, this was exactly his practice. He would hand out the toasted grains, and he would, get the kids to be inquisitive on the Seder night. Tanya Rabbi Lazar Amar Chodfin Matzos Balele Psachim Bishul Tinokos Shalo Yishanu. Chodfin Matzos. Okay, this is a statement which the Rashbam just doesn't even know what to do with it. He gives a number of explanations. Let's go through the Rashbam inside. Okay, first of all, what's the girsa? What's the correct girsa over here? Unclear. So Rabbi Eliezer says that your chotef, it's either matzah or matzos. Right, in our Gemara, if you look carefully inside, it says matzos. If you look at the Rashbam says it's matzah. So let's take a look at what's going on over here. The Rashbam is going to offer, I think, a total of three explanations of what's going on over here. So number one says the Rashbam. I'm reading inside. Second Rashbam on the Amud. Magbim es hakara bishul tinokos sheyishalu. So one possible explanation is we lift up the kara. Right? You know at the Seder it says, you know, you're following the Seder, you're following the instructions. Lift the Seder here. Okay, I'm lifting the Seder plate. All right, well, fine. We'll put it down. Good. Did everyone see that? Most people didn't see that. Usually have to call to people's attention that you're lifting it. You know, in the good old days, it was pretty noticeable because the plate and the table were really one and the same. Everyone ate on, like, the desks in front of you. So when you're lifting the table, you're lifting the plate, you're lifting the table. That was noticeable. Nowadays, all you're doing is just lifting a plate off the table. It's not that exciting. But anyway, so that's one possible explanation that to get the kids to ask what's going on, so you would lift the table up. Good. So another possible explanation is don't spend a lot of time eating at the Seder night. Meaning the meal could drag on, don't do that. Chotef means to grab. Grab over here means hurry up through the meal. Get through the meal so that the kids don't fall asleep. So the Rashbam says, I heard this both in the name of Rabbeinu. So it could be he's quoting his grandfather. It could be other Rebbeim. The Yeshkar said matzos. Now that was the girsa of chotim matzah. Some have the girsa of matzos. In fact, if you look in our Gemara, that's the girsa that we have in our Gemara. So magbim is a kar sheish ba matzah umaru based off shilin. So you lift up the entire ka'ara, which has matzah, marur, and two cooked foods. Okay, his ka'ara was a much simpler ka'ara than what we have. We have a ka'ara that has six things on it and... Okay, anyway, matzah, mar, and two cooked foods. The linear chotim is salkin es alechem yadatinokos. I'm going to offer another pshat. I think this is now the fourth pshat in the Rashbam. I think you know what the pshat is? I think what it means is don't let the kids eat bread on the Seder evening. Bread, of course, over here doesn't mean chametz. Bread over here just means the carbs. Right? Don't let them eat carbs on the Seder night. Shelo yihu shishenim mitoch maichal harbei. Because you eat a lot, you get tired, you fall asleep. That's not what we want to happen on the Seder night. We don't want you to fall asleep. So therefore, we prevent the kids from loading up on bready type foods. But once you take away the bread from them, meaning basically don't let them eat, so then they're not going to fall asleep. Okay. And then he quotes the Tosefta, and the Tosefta supports a number of these explanations. So just to wrap up, Rabbi Eliezer says, right, Rabbi Kiva says in our Gemara that, how do you get the kids interested? So start throwing grains at them and nuts and get them excited over the course of the evening. And then Rabbi Eliezer follows up with chotf and matzah. So what does that mean? So the Rashbam gave a whole slew of explanations. Lift up the plate, go through the meal quickly, take away bready foods from them so they don't fall asleep over the course of the evening. Fine. Tanya, back to the Gemara. Amar lava Rabbi Kiva miyamavlo Amar higel eis la'amor lebebeis ha-medrash chutz me'avre psachim v'erev yom ha-kipurim. Two times Rabbi Kiva would close the Beis Medrash. I mean, Beis Medrash was open 365 days a year? No. 363 days a year. Yeah, I know, I'm doing the solar year, but you get the point. 2 days of the year where the Beis Medrash was closed for business. One day was Erev Pesach, and the other day was Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Pesach, Bishul Tinokas, Kadesha Leishanu. So Erev Pesach, the Beis Medrash is closed so that the children don't fall asleep. What exactly that means? So the Rashbam says, Rashbam actually offers a couple of explanations. One of the explanations of the Rashbam is, Dad will go home and tell the kids to go take a nap on Pesach afternoon, on Erev Pesach, I should say, so that the Seder night, the kids will be wide awake. Right? It's interesting. Dads have to go home and tell the kids to take a nap, meaning, why is Dad necessary for those instructions? I don't know, maybe because the kids listen to Dad. I don't know. That's one day where Rabbi Akiva would close the doors of the Beis Medrash. The other day is Erev Yom Kippur, Kedei She'achilos B'nehem, so that the fathers would come home from the Beis Medrash and make sure that the kids and all of his family are eating in preparation of the fast. And again, it's hard to understand, really, meaning if Dad doesn't come home, the kids won't eat. Okay, but all right. Anyway, but basically, to create some sort of order, some sort of family order, so Dad would go home on Erev Pesach, he was needing the house, and Dad would come home on Erev Yom Kippur, he was needing the house, and for those 2 days, Rabbi Akiva closed the doors of the Beis Medrash and allowed everyone to go home. Tanu Rabbanan Chayav Adam L'Samech Banav V'nei Beiso B'Regel. Okay, as long as now we're in the discussion of getting kids interested in the Seder, so the Gemara kind of takes us on a small tangent regarding, in general, you should make sure everyone's happy on Yontif. Okay, it's not an easy task. The Vilna Gaon is quoted as saying, the hardest mitzvah in the Torah is to be happy on Yontif. Right? You could, all of the mitzvahs in the Torah, that's easy. Shake a lulav, fine. Shake a lulav. Put on tefillin, fine. Meaning, the robotic motions, and that's fine. But once the Torah asks you to be, have an emotion, and not just an emotion, but to be happy, so it's quoted in the name of the Vilna Gaon, it's one of the hardest mitzvahs. So anyway, Chayav Adam Samech Banav Neveso Beregel. And not only do you have to make yourself happy, let's talk about how difficult this is going to be now, you got to make other people happy, you got to make people in your family happy. Shenemer V'samachta B'chagecha, V'samachta B'chagecha, right, I think you really need the end of the pasuk, right, in order to understand that this does not just apply to you, but applies to others as well. Anyone have the full pasuk in the Gemara? All right, well, if I'm guessing correctly, atah v'secha, right? In other words, not atah v'incha. Yeah, okay. That's right. That's what it's the rest of the pasuk that indicates that it's not just you that needs to be happy; it's everyone that needs to be happy and your family. So how do you make everyone happy? Bayayin. So wine is the answer. This is not the only opinion in the Gemara. Rav Yehuda Amar Anashim Berai Lahem Anashim Berai Lahem. So Rav Yehuda says, well, I would do it more specific to the population, meaning men have what makes them happy, women have what makes them happy. Anashim Berai Lahem B'Yayin. So as far as men is concerned, wine. Fine. Done. Nashim B'Mai. So what's going to make women happy? So Tani Rav Yosef B'Bavel B'Big Day Tziv Onim Berit Yisrael B'Big Day Pishtan Miguatzim. So if for women, it's going to be new clothing, and new clothing specific to where they live, meaning every society has got their fashion. So depending on where you live, so in Bavel, so it's Big Day Tzivonim. They wear colors in Bavel. In Eretz Yisrael, so they wear white. Big Day Pishtan Migu Hatsin. So combed, iron, pressed flax, linen, clothing. Or in other words, I imagine the Gemara just means by that, right, buy new clothing for the women, specific to where they live. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda, Ben Bezerah, Omer, Bezman, Shebeis HaMikdash, Kaim, Ein Simcha, Ela, Bebasar. When the Beis HaMikdash is in existence, so you know how you arrive, how you achieve Simcha, you do so with meat. Shenemer, Vezavachta, Shlamim, Vachalta, Sham, Vesamach, Lofnei Hashem, Lekecha. It's, the Pasuk pretty much says it, meaning it's not even a drasha. I mean, the Torah just simply says that you're going to offer shlamim, you're going to eat it, and you're going to be happy. So in other words, while there was a Beit HaMikdash, so simcha comes in the form of meat. V'achshav shein Beit HaMikdash kayam, ein simcha ela b'yayim. But now that the Beit HaMikdash is no longer around, so simcha comes in the form of wine, shenemar v'yayin yisamach, levav enosh. Period. It is interesting, I see he has, in the notes, he has a lengthy discussion. The Rambam seems to indicate that even Bizman Azeh, the simcha that we achieve on Yantav comes as a result of meat. A simple reading of our Gemara does not indicate that. A simple reading of our Gemara seems to indicate that was only in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when we had Karbonos, and when we had a Shlamim. So it is, so that he tries to discuss and defend the Rambam in terms of why the Rambam says that even Bizman Azeh, even nowadays, the way to achieve simcha is through meat. Okay, I'm certainly not going to argue with the Rambam. I feel the same way, but okay, that's neither here nor there. All right, last topic for today, and that is going to be the following. So we now know that there is a mitzvah to drink 4 cups of wine on the Seder night. We achieve a certain amount of simcha. Certainly got that sense from the last 15 lines of Gemara that we went through. But aside from the simcha that we achieve, we also fulfill a mitzvah midrabbanan, rabbinic mitzvah, which is to drink the 4 cups of wine. Like any mitzvah, there's a requisite amount, there's a shear. What's the shear? So as we know, the shear is going to be a revius. Each cup must consist of a minimum of a revius. I drink each cup 4 times, I space it out over the course of the evening, as the Mishnahs will instruct us, and we fulfill the mitzvah of dalakostos. It's a simple question, and it's really one that, like all simple questions, there should be a simple answer. We now know, of course, we're working now, you know, a couple of about 1,500 years removed from the conclusion of the Gemara. We now know that we don't have a simple answer to this question, but it's really a simple question. How much is a revius? Right, and it doesn't just affect the mitzvah of dalakosos. There are a number of halachas that apply to a revius. Rashbam over here quotes a number of them. Yain shel nazir, a nazir can't drink wine. How much wine can't a nazir drink? A revius. Okay. Another halacha, revius dam, right? Blood that comes out of a human body, in other words, human remains, but the human remains is just blood. Let's say there's just blood. So if there's the revius of dam, and even if the revius is a composite of two different mesim, where the two bloods mix together, but if you have a revius, so it gives off tumah. So many halachas apply to a revius. So how much is a revius? It's such a simple question. So we know it's a quarter of a log. Okay, but can we put that into terms that you and I understand? So obviously we no longer operate with these types of measuring units. We operate with liters and quarts and cups and ounces. But still, the Gemara now wants to try to put it into actual practice. What are we talking about when we say a revius? So the Gemara is going to start off with a couple of statements that to us is not going to be helpful, but in the time of the Gemara, very helpful. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Kasta de Murisa. You know that measuring spoon that they use whenever you buy the fish brine in the store? Okay, right? This we understand. You go to the store, you get herring. Okay, good. How much? Right, so, right, that small little container. But in the meantime, however, in the back then, so they had kasta, they had this type of spoon, the marisa, the ava bitsipori, you go to town of Tzipori, that's where you're going to find it. He havas kamin loga. The mikacha uba mishar revia shal pesach. So that holds a log, so that means then that if I have one kasta of liquid and I break that into 4 parts, so then I'm going to have 4 revias. Good. That's one way to achieve, that's one way of knowing how much a revius is. That's if we lived in Tzipori circa 2nd century, 3rd century. Good. I'm Rav Yochanan Tamnaisa Kadmaisa Dahava Bitzveria. Go to the next town over, meaning right just a little bit east of Tzipori, you have the town of Tveria. So you go to Tveria and get the Tamnaisa Kadmaisa. Tamnaisa, another type of measuring spoon that was used back then, but get the original one. Hava Yesera Alda Riv'a. So it was greater than the one we currently use by a quarter of a log. Uvamishar and Revishal Pesach. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to fill the old one, get the original, fill it, transfer it over to now the new one. Whatever liquid is left over, that's a revis. Another way of arriving at a revis. So this is great. So if we live in either Tzipori or in Tveria, approximately 1600 years ago, we would have been great. We would have known exactly how much a revis is. Good. Any help for us? Yes. Yeah, so the Gemara is going to give us a little bit of help to achieve the measurement of a revis. Now, a revis is a volume, a measurement of volume. But a volume measurement can be converted into a linear measurement. In other words, if you take the three dimensions and you make a cube out of it, so you can basically convert volume into linear. So, Amar Rav Chista Revishal Torah Etzba'ayim Al Etzba'ayim Barum Etzba'ayim V'chatzi Etzba V'chomesh Etzba. So, the Gemara gives us a conversion. And that is that a Revishal Torah is, in terms of linear measurement, 2 etzba by 2 etzba, length and width, and a height of 2 etzba and a half an etzba and a fifth of an etzba. Okay? Basically 2 by 2 by 2. And the height's a little bit more. Okay. If you can visualize that, you're going to see that that's not a whole lot. An etzba is basically the width of your thumb. So basically now I take the width of your thumb, add on top of that the width of your thumb, and make a cube out of that. Now the height is going to be a little bit more, but you're talking about a really small amount that represents the revis. We usually think of revis, it's not a whole Kiddush cup. But in other words, let's say it's 4 ounces. 4 ounces is a lot. 4 ounces is, a shot glass has approximately an ounce. You're talking about 4 shot glasses as being what we generally assume to be a revis. So our Gemara says that it's 2 by 2 by 2. 2 etzbos by 2 etzbos by 2 and a little bit more etzba. Okay. Where does this mean? No, revis is from Sinai, right? Revis, the measurement of revis, that's halacha Moshe mit Sinai. We're just trying to convert it so that we know, we, those who want to apply this to our practical life, we want to know how much it is. So the Gemara gives us a conversion ratio, and the conversion ratio is from volume to linear measurement. It goes that each revis is going to be a total of 2 by 2 by 2. And the Gemara says, and how do I know that? Kedetanya, and it's based on the following. Verachat b'mayim, it's called besaro. We know there's a mitzvah that if a person becomes tamei and he wants to become Torah, he has to tovel in the mikvah. The Torah in Parshas Mitzora describes this process of toveling in the mikvah. It says, the pasuk says, verachat b'mayim, he's gonna literally bathe himself in water. It's called besaro, his entire body. And the Gemara derives a certain number of halachas. Number one, shalei davachotzis bein besaro l'mayim. There cannot be any type of chatzitz, any separation between his body and the water. There must be contact with every part of his body, with every part of the water. This is the halach of chatzitza. Good. Not for us right now. That's not the part we want to focus on. The one part we want to focus on is the next statement, which is ba-mayim b'mei mikvah. It has to be in water. It means in collected water. Es kol b'saro mayim. Shekol gufo ola bahem. It has to be that it's a full submerging of your body into the water. So in other words, it has to be in mei mikvah and collected water and total. Total body immersion into water. V'kamehain. So now let's do the math. This math is going to be simple. And this math is basically going to be, how much water do I need? How much volume of water do I need in order to get my entire body into one body of water? Basically, what's the smallest bath? Give me the smallest bath size so that we can submerge yourself. So the Gemara says, Ama al Ama Barum Shalosh Amos. So that's easy. It's 1 Ama by 1 Ama by 3 Amas. In other words, the average height of a human being is 1 Ama wide by 1 Ama length, meaning our thickness of our body, by the height being 3 Amas. Now, three amas, that makes me feel better. Three amas, each ama is about a foot and a half. So three of them, so we're talking about 4.5 feet. Okay, that makes me feel better in terms of the average height. Does that include the head? So Tosfos says no. This is always a discussion that every time this Gemara comes up, the Gemara comes up a number of times in Shas, we say that the average height of a human being is three amas. Is that with or without the head? Tosfos over here says it's without the head. Meaning up to the shoulders, the average height of a human being is three amas. So how does that work then? So Tosfos says displacement.
Isn't that close to 6 feet?
So again, it depends what your amas is. If your amas are 1.5 to 2 feet. So if your amas is 2 feet, right, so then that means that average height of a human is 6 feet up to the shoulder, right? Add the head, that's like 6.5 foot. Okay.
How could that be the minimum volume if the head's not included? How could you make
it? So Tosfos says displacement, meaning that if my pool is going to be an ama and ama by three amas, and we say the three amas does include the head, but once you go into the water, once you're displacing that water, so then the water is going to rise and it's going to submerge your entire body, including your head. That's how Tosfos understands it. Now, so what do we have now? So we have a linear measurement, 1 by 1 by 3 amas. V'shiru chachamim shir me mikva arba'im sa. Now here's what we're going to do, or here's what we know. The Chachamim tell us that converts into 40 sa'ah volume. And now, here's all you need to do. Now, I'm not going to do it now. but it's easy math. You can take a look at the Rashbam over here, he does it. So once I know that we have now a ratio of what to work with. In other words, we now know that the linear measurement of 1 by 1 by 3 amas is going to equal 40 volume. So now that I have a way of converting from linear to volume, so now I keep reducing until the point where I get a revius, and I'll know exactly how much that equals linear. And the Gemara says, and if you do the math, and you'll look at the Rashbam over here, it's the first Rashbam on Kuf Tesamud Beis, and you'll do the math, and you'll see it works out. That if you keep reducing and reducing and reducing, it's going to come out that a revius of liquid volume is going to equal 2 etzbaos by 2 etzbaos by 2 etzbaos, and again, I'm ballparking. It's a little bit more than that, but basically, okay. So, all we've accomplished, which is not a little, it's a lot, is that now we know basically not only how to speak about revius in terms of volume, but we know how to talk about in terms of cube linear measurement. Okay, practical halacha. So this is just the beginning of the story. Meaning, first you have to know our Gemara right here, which now we do. So that our Gemara tells us very clearly that if you want to know how much a revius is in terms of a linear measurement, so it's going to be 2 by 2 by 2. 2 by 2 by 2 etzbaos, which, whatever. In other words, you could basically give yourself an idea by holding two thumbs up in front of you, by two thumbs up and two thumbs across, and that's how much a revius is. It really is not a lot. The problem is that, and this is discussed by the Achronim, they're funny, the Rishonim never discuss this, but the Achronim are bothered by the problem that we have other Gemaras that speak about the volume of Revius in terms of the volume of eggs. And it seems like our linear measurement that's presented over here doesn't conform to the volume provided by eggs. And so therefore, this is where the discussion goes well beyond the daf, but therefore a number of Achronim have introduced the idea that although our Gemara speaks in terms of its bows, maybe what another Gemara speaks in terms of eggs, maybe what we consider to be an egg nowadays is not what the eggs were back in the times of the Gemara. Right, the first one who really was strong on this position was Rav Yecheskel Landa. Rav Yecheskel Landa, Nano de Yehuda, right, 18th century Prague. So he was very bent on this idea, and that's why what ended up happening is that although what from our Gemara Revius sounds like a little bit, basically has grown larger and larger. Over. So, but his contention is that it didn't grow larger, meaning a revius was always a standard size. It's just that our eggs, which is one of the ways of the Gemara comparing it, our eggs have just simply gotten smaller. Okay, anyway. Another discussion for another time. Not for now. You want to know how much a revius is, you ask your local rabbi. He'll tell you. You want to know from the Gemara's perspective, so that we just did today as well. Amar Avashi Amalan Rabin Barchina Shochan Shal Mikdash Shal Prakim Hava. The Shochan in the Beis Hamikdash was segmented. In other words, the Shochan in the Beis Hamikdash, right? In the Beis Hamikdash, there were three pieces of furniture, right? That's it. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was also the Aron, but you had the Shochan, the Menorah, and the Mizbech HaZahav. That's it. Those are your three pieces of furniture in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Shulchan was segmented into parts. Why? Because we know that the Shulchan was just too big to fit into a mikvah. It's funny, the Gemara is asking this question because the Gemara right now is thinking, well, you know, the mikvah was one by one by three amas. So how are we going to get the Shulchan into a one amma space? It's too tight a space. So the Gemara says, "My kushya dumma be." Yeah. That's going to be the Gemara's answer. My kushya dumma be yamshasta shlama hava matbilei. Okay. In other words, it could very well be that we had a large mikvah. In fact, we know there was a larger mikvah. Deni Rabbi Chia yamshasta shlama machzik mea vechamishim mikvah tahara. Shlama hamelach yamsha shlama. Right. He built like a lake, like a moat, if you will, and it was able to hold 150 mikvahs. Meaning 40 sa'ah is the minimum amount of a mikvah. So Shlomo HaMelech's mikvah held 40 times 150. It was that large. Remember, it had a circumference of 30 amma. Circumference of 30 amma. And the pasuk in Malachim described it having a diameter of 10 amma. We spoke back in Erevin. Daf Yudalid. Right, we spoke about the Gemara's understanding of the relationship between the circumference to diameter as being 3 to 1. We understand it as being pi. Okay, and we talked about that at length. Right, I remind you, the Rambam writes. I find this to be one of the most interesting things. The Rambam writes that the relationship between the circumference to diameter is an irrational number. The Rambam writes it in, like, you know, he lived in the 12th century, 13th century, and he writes it's not that we don't. It's not that we don't know the number, it's that we can't know the number. The Rambam writes this 800 years ago. We can't know the number because it's an irrational number. So, okay. Anyway, and historians who know what, you know, when the math community discovered that pi was an irrational number, I feel like the Rambam beat everyone to the punch on that one. Yeah. Okay. Ad Khan. That takes us to the end of today's daf. There's a little bit more to go in today's daf, as you probably noticed. We're going to stop over here. Tomorrow we start another very interesting topic, and that is the topic of zugos. If you don't know what I mean, so please come back tomorrow. I'm going to have a tough time getting through tomorrow's daf. But tomorrow we talk about the topic of zugos. That is the famous topic coming up tomorrow. We will stop here.